Welcome to F&I Today. I'm your host, Becky Chernick. Today we sit down with Rodney O'Rourke, who is managing partner with ID Restore 360. We will be discussing the F&I manager's role that is more critical than ever before to protect the dealership's assets. With sales volumes down, dealers are taking an aggressive position to make up that profit in F&I. But are we going over the line to meet those objectives? Rodney O'Rourke, welcome back to F&I Today. It's certainly a pleasure to have you back in the studio with us.
Pleasure's all mine.
You know, for our dealers and viewers, you know, recently we were talking about, we had that conversation about the volume maybe not being as robust and maybe it's neutralizing, right? But in our effort to go ahead and maximize profits, dealers are leaning a lot more into their F&I people, F&I departments to make up that difference of profit. So because of that, could we, or maybe, I don't know, missing, I don't know, compliance, you know, doing the right thing. Maybe sometimes we're a bit too aggressive in getting that vehicle to delivered that we're missing some of those important steps. What do you think?
No, I think you can certainly miss those opportunities. One of the biggest facets of the finance department has always been that one place to make profitability. Even when you're not making money on the front of the deal, you have the back. With time, it's become more and more advantageous to expect more out of the finance department and, you know, expect them to have the higher per copy runs. You know, when you have a finance person that's, or a finance department that's putting up $1,500 a car, you as a sales manager know if I put a $1,500 loser in there, there's a good chance he can get me out or even make money on the deal. So that certainly allows them to be more aggressive. And I think you're right. I think a lot of the direction has gone to profit and finance. And, you know, the most important job of a finance manager is protecting the dealer's assets. And a lot of that can be put at risk.
My question to you on that, and I get it, and that's something that I was always trained in the business. When I first got into F&I, my responsibility was to protect the dealer's assets. So here's a question. A lot of dealers are giving the reins back over to the desk managers to make these calls on these spot decisions. And pretty much they have the reins, they have the say-so whether or not something should be delivered or not. Is that maybe a slippery slope to take? What are your thoughts there?
Well, finance manager has to remember, although he may not be making all the calls as, you know, the desk is popping in to make some calls, his opinion is absolutely important. There are some stores that they actually make all the calls from the desk. And the finance department is basically just, you know, in essence, more of a work each deal as it comes in. Those finance managers are responsible at the end for all the, not only profitability, but the exposure.
Well, is that fair?
Whether it's fair or not, I don't think it matters.
I don't know how you can expect them to be the end all when they have no decision in the whole thing.
Well, that's the funny part about the finance department. They are the stopgap.
They're supposed to be.
They're absolutely. And if they're not, they need to ask themselves why they're not. Their responsibility, and I was raised the same way, you know, protect the dealer's assets, deliver the vehicle, and profitability. Mm-hmm. Although the profitability is expected to be high, they still need to do their other aspects of the job, which is protecting the deal and delivering the car.
So when that happens, their feedback, their advice should be taken into consideration and not ignored by the desk.
Absolutely. In fact, with identity theft through the roof right now, you know, it's an epidemic proportions, and fraud and everything out there, it's imperative for a finance manager to pay attention to that. Because if he gets a driver's license, it's an out-of-state driver's license, and something doesn't look right, he needs to wonder, you know, should I be concerned about the person buying the car? Are they really the person that has the credit?
So when does, you know, and I get it, you know, I talk to a lot of dealers, and, you know, when does it, like, you know, when does the compliance piece go too far? And some of these guys, they say, you know what, Beck? When does it start cutting into not making deals or costing me sales or profits?
You can certainly have a process that's just, you know, cumbersome, that slows, you know, slows the deal down. When it starts costing you deals, the question is, what is it costing you? If you're running deals through and you're not paying attention to compliance, it's going to cost you bigger down the road. The compliance, although you may feel like it slows you down, I think if you have a process and you keep on top of that process and people are following on a regular basis, it's not going to slow it down.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
You know, some of the dealers say, you know, wait, maybe we can just get to the line. Maybe that line, you know, in the sand, just get over a little bit over the line and we're cool and we're good.
Yeah, that's great until it ends up in a court of law. Let's be honest. Okay, you don't want to be the dealer in a court of law. The only one they don't like more than you is your attorney.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So when you're looking at that, you need to ask yourself, you know, ethically, what is the right thing to do? You need to have a moral compass in that decision. There are lines that you can step over, and there are lines you can walk. We've all walked lines in the car business, but there is a difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing the wrong thing, it's not only exposure for the dealership and for the dealer principal, possibly criminal if you go, you know, far enough, but it's also for you. You know, dealerships are still in the news
mm-hmm.
for doing things wrong, and they are toting people out in handcuffs. And it's not just the dealer principal.
So what's the solution? You know, I'm in the stores and we have these sales managers who want to sling the deal into the F&I office. Let's wing it. Let's do this deal. Come heck or high water. We're being competitive. And man, let me tell you what, if we're not spotting this deal, if it's not going out, somebody else is going to. I don't care. Put the car out. So what's the solution here to help that dealer make that right decision?
I'm all about spotting the deal in the right states, obviously. Some states don't allow spotting.
Yeah.
I'm all about being aggressive and moving the cars over the curb. You know, we grew up doing that. I'm just saying that if you have to pay attention to each deal, and if there's a red flag on a deal that just doesn't look right, or there's something that's being forced through when it shouldn't, you can't force a round peg through a square hole. It just doesn't work like that.
Right.
So take the time to notice those and work them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't, it's okay to be fast, it's okay to deliver, it's okay to go for gross and profit, mm-hmm. but don't get silly with it where you're not paying attention to the things you need to.
One of the things, too, that I have found over the years is when I have my workshops or when I'm doing this in dealership training, the sales manager is always the one to tell me, I don't know why I'm even here. I'm not an F&I person. Why do I need to be here? And I think a lot of times they don't realize that they have to be aware of these rules and regulations just as much as that F&I person, and especially if they're out there quoting payments.
No, you're 100% correct. They're too involved in the deal to not be involved in training.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example is, they manage salespeople. Salespeople manage private information. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Okay, every single dead deal has exposure to a dealership. How much exposure? Well, with the safeguards rule and private information with your privacy policy, you're talking, it could be a $40,000 per knowing day, mm-hmm. not per deal, mm-hmm. per knowing day that the exposure's on the line. And you're responsible as a sales manager to control your salespeople, to control all that private information, make sure that gets secured, and then to quote payments properly, and then get it all into the finance department. You have a full responsibility, a full plate of responsibility that you need to be educated in the laws.
Well, you know, here's what I tell dealers. I say, you know, it starts the very minute that that customer touches down on that dealership website to that customer coming in, working with the sales associate, because they need to be trained too.
Absolutely.
To working with the desk. And from the desk into the F&I department. It takes two to tango.
Absolutely. And, you know, it takes the finance manager to make sure that everything's right by the time it hits his desk. Because once he contracts that deal, he is now fully responsible for everything missing in that deal. So if there were steps they had to get ahead of time, mm-hmm. he needs to make sure he's on top of it. If it's something they could have gotten ahead of time, like a copy of a driver's license or insurance card, he needs to make sure all that's done and signed off on. That's why we have checklists on deal jackets.
Oh, go figure. I just wish they'd use them. Now,
that's up to the finance manager to hold the desk accountable.
And both. I mean, desk manager needs to make sure that their sales associates are doing the checklist.
Absolutely.
And they need to be signing off on that.
100%.
A lot of times that doesn't happen either.
You're right.
So, like, that's why I'm saying it certainly takes the two coming together. Now, one other thing, one other thought that I had. You know, I'm going into these dealerships, and I'm noticing a little bit more lack on menu selling. And, you know, it almost seems like it's going back to where it was when I first got into menu selling, that some of these guys aren't really taking it seriously or really truly understanding, you know, their responsibilities to menu selling. And a lot of times I think the reason for that is, you know, some of the deals, as they make their way into the F&I office, because we're aggressive, customers don't even know their base payment. And so now F&I is going to be the one to, what, close the customer on that base payment? And so sometimes that menu and closing the customer on the base payment at the same time just doesn't work.
Well, I think it's part of disclosure. You know, when we first started selling finance, there wasn't a menu.
Mm-hmm.
With time, we learned how to do the menu, and over time, we really liked it. Because what it did was it took a very, you know, aggressive sales approach that finance always had and turned it from confrontation into non-confrontation, which was a great benefit to the finance manager that was, you know, presenting the products.
But it's not all about just 100% of the products 100% of the time. Menu also is the disclosure.
Absolutely.
That the customer understands the base payment terms prior to those products being presented.
Price, down payment. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Amount financed.
All that has to be disclosed prior to the fact.
Absolutely, and it should be disclosed. Customers should know what they're getting. I mean, if the customer doesn't know what they're getting, are they going to be very happy?
And there's missing those valuable steps.
Absolutely, and you need to handle that while they're in the office, when you have control of the deal. Once they're home, you don't want an irate customer. You know, when we sold cars, it was a different world. We didn't have, you know, the only survey we had to worry about was a factory survey. Now you have Yelp and all these other, you know, digital ways to grade a business, and all that comes down to not just your CSI, but your customer experience.
Yeah, and so just slinging deals into the F&I office, we're trying to hurry up, we're trying to sell more cars, we're trying to maximize profits, there's still duties and responsibilities, and making sure that we, as an F&I person, protect that dealership assets.
Absolutely.
More so than ever before.
Absolutely, and you know, I'm not against putting a deal into the finance department to close it. I was a huge, you know, a huge component of that in my business, was bringing people into the finance office and closing the deal. And I liked it as a finance manager because I had control of the deal. So I'm not against that, but disclosure has to be done. The menu is a great way to disclose all the information to the customer, put it out there, and then have an opportunity to close them legitimately.
Okay, great. Well, you know, again, Rodney, it's a pleasure to have you on the F&I Today Show. I'm glad you were able to be here in studio with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. So as Rodney points out, due to the nature of the business today, F&I has to take the position to protect the dealership assets. The throwing deals into this F&I office on a whim and or not presenting menus or even proper disclosures just may cost you in the end. Remember, F&I, your role is to protect the dealership assets. Thank you for joining us on F&I Today. Be sure to come back next week right here on the CBT Automotive Network for our next edition of F&I Today. Now, for those that may not be familiar with my background, I have been providing finance and insurance training for automotive dealers since 2001. I offer in-dealership and regional workshops throughout US and Canada. Now, my in-house training is my specialty, where I assist dealers with streamlining their sales and finance process from the time that customer touches down on the dealership website to finalizing this transaction at the dealership or online.
F&I Today, brought to you by eLend Solutions.